Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
My first item is we're seeking approval to transfer $400,000 from the ARPA funds to replace the chillers in the jail. This would be a Gordian project, work done by Dan.
Second.
Discussion. Chillers are what I would use.
The chillers are what cycle, yeah. What's the difference over there? Building. And they cycle all of the year through 24/7 in the jail. The ones we're replacing were original to the building.
So, did this project get started because we have ARPA funds, or had we already been talking about this for a while?
Not too long. We knew that it was on the horizon. And then during budget process, we started talking about the availability of ARPA funds versus injecting this into the budget.
Okay.
And that's why our recommendation would be, since it's a one-time capital, to utilize ARPA funds for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry. No, we won't, because it's through Gordian. We're hopping on that, the process that purchasing the majority of our projects, where their engineer comes in, tells out what we need, and then it's part of the, I believe it's kind of the reach track.
Yep. Yeah. So, like the 911 center HVAC that was initially discussed last month, it'll be discussed again later on. We'd get the scope of work, send it out to you folks. You'd be able to take a look. Obviously, Sheriff, Eric, the rest, Andy would vet for the pricing to make sure that it's reasonable. And then it would have to come to you for actually awarding that, utilizing that mechanism. This would have to go to finance and full board. There's another request next, as you... but that's not ARPA funds. Yeah. Yep. So yes, finance and full board.
So is 400 going to cover it?
So that's part of the whole process, is we get quotes that aren't locked in because they're out, and we try to request enough beyond that that we reasonably think we'll cover it, but there's no guarantee the way prices have been.
And if it doesn't, then what?
I come back to you with that.
One more question, Jack. For the benefit of the new legislators, can you add this to the ARPA running total list and send that out so they see what we've already allowed to spend from? Thank you.
Aye.
Okay, item number two is detention fencing project. When the jail was originally built, the second tier had no fencing along the rail, which would prevent people from trying to jump over from the second floor down to the first floor. A little over a year ago, we had a suicide where a person did exactly that and ended up dying in the hospital. As a result of that, you guys have seen, I brought forward several accommodations for correction officers that have saved people that have tried to hang themselves from that railing on the second tier. So in order to make a safer environment both for the correction officers and the inmates, we've received permission from the Commission of Correction to alter the physical plant in the jail and put fencing along that second tier railing so that people can no longer just jump over the rail.
This is in a cap.
This is a capital project.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Aye.
The question is more for the county attorney. For us, if we do this, are we admitting any sort of issue that we recognized was at the jail and now we're fixing it?
Well, since we're on the public record, I won't get into it too much, but we had recommendations come down from the oversight of the jail. And Sheriff, can you remind me, was this one of the recommendations?
This was actually this was never a recommendation from the Commission of Corrections. This was an internal, when we reevaluated that specific item, we sat down with mental health and said, how can we prevent this? Yeah.
So
this was one of the recommendations that would most likely help.
Right. So like in a general, what we do generally, we have a car accident on a county road. We have to do an investigation of what we can do better. And as long as we find we can do something better and do it, our immunity stays intact.
Okay. Thank you.
Number three. As many of you may remember, we received a grant from State Farm to create an instructional trailer for the high school prom season that we're calling Emily's Challenge. That trailer is not yet completed. There's still $4,285.47 in that account. We'd like to roll that over so that we can complete it this year before prom season.
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second it.
are we running into a cost overrun on this, or this is just continuation of?
There's so many different. It's a continuation.
Okay.
And there's so many parts that we have to get out that it takes some time to get it all.
But we're still within budget.
Yes.
Okay.
I just wanted to say we've had a lot of donations that, and people willing to work on the trailer that have not cost us a lot of money. So I think it's,
keep the cost down.
Yes, exactly.
So Sheriff, can you explain the Emily's Challenge title? Why we're calling it that?
Emily was a young lady who was the daughter of our dispatcher who was in a crash while she was intoxicated as a passenger. And she was ejected from the vehicle because she didn't wear her seatbelt, and she died as a result of it. So part of it is to recognize that for that member of our office. And during that same time frame, we had six fatalities driving while intoxicated or impaired, fatalities where in every case it was the passenger that died and it was never the driver. So the idea is to utilize what's been very influential, called the Amy Stock trailer out of Albany, where we take the information from the 911 calls. We interviewed the survivors. We interviewed the responding officers. And we put that together as an educational loop that goes through media devices, along with one of the vehicles from one of these terrible crashes that you can see inside the trailer. And the students will walk around and hear it, see it, and be able to absorb the trauma that occurs not only to the victims of these crashes, but to the community and to the school. One of these people that died was a senior at one of our area high schools. So we hope it's as powerful a message as can possibly be presented, in hopes that we have fewer fatalities so that our students walk away not only impressed with the fact that, no, you can't drink and drive, everybody knows that, but also don't get in the car with an intoxicated or impaired driver.
So is the car available to be put in the trailer, or are you still working on it?
We're still working on it.
Hi.
That's all I have this month, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Several contract items for you. First one, JFB Enterprises. This is for the burn building project that we're working on. stadium restrictions have been lifted. However, there are some extenuating circumstances right now where they cannot do this install until probably spring. So we need to extend that contract out. I recommend extending it out for the rest of this year so that they can get that installed on in spring.
Is there any extra cost to us, Tim?
No extra cost at this point. We paid them about half of the contract right now, so they've still got half of the contract still to be paid to them. The material and everything is in place in Canada. It's just right now they've got some extenuating circumstances to install. So they would like to push the install off until spring.
So by doing that, that gives them a lot of latitude.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm really willing to do that. Extend it maybe till the end of June.
Yeah, we could extend it till the end of June. That's fine.
I don't want people dragging their feet in this situation. So if they've done half the job, let's give them 6 months to finish it.
Okay. I'll make the motion with a 6 month extension.
Second.
Is there any penalty for them dragging their feet?
No, and if you wanted to get into more discussion in regards to the extenuating circumstances, I think this would be appropriate for the executive or tonight.
It really isn't, but I mean, one is we had restrictions of getting across the border for the last year and a half. So that was it. And the other we'll just say is a very bad family situation for the owner. That I think Tim and I have had the conversation, and it's a bad situation, and we're just
okay.
Being kind.
Yep. Fine.
Handle that situation.
Yep. Thank you.
So then, is the 6 months reasonable?
I think so. I mean, he originally thought that he was going to get that done November, December. Then things changed on his side, and he figured now it's probably going to be April or May. So possibly June. By the end of June, we definitely should be able to know where we're at. We need to come back with an additional extension. We will, but I think for fairness right now, I think end of June is fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Aye.
Okay, next is the annual NSTAR contract. This is the contract with the medical service agency, NSTAR, in Elmira. That's all of our medical training for our EMTs and first responders. $5,625 for the year. This is a budgeted item.
Motion to approve.
I'll move it.
I'll second it. Is it the same cost, Tim?
Yeah,
or?
Same cost as.
How many did they train last year? Do you know?
We get quarterly reports from them. I can't specifically right now tell you what they've done for the year without looking at their reports, but I can get that information.
Thank you.
But the quarterly reports are submitted to the county manager's office.
Anybody else?
Aye.
Next is Environmental Emergency Services, Inc. This is our flood warning service. This is the annual contract and annual submission for the county's expense, $8,400. And this is, again, another budget item.
Motion to
approve. Hello. I'll second it.
Discussion. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That system has been very good to us this past year. Let me tell you that. Thank you. Unfortunately, but fortunately, we have it there. Next is the HVAC upgrade for the 911 center we discussed last month. Again, this is a Gordian contract, which would be $214,459.60. The day automation for the controllers to change out the Johnson controls, the day automation upgrade with the rest of the equipment that Garrett has, $77,136.16, for a total project of $291,595.76. I have the the Gordian contract piece in my capital reserve for this project. And then Eric's going to pick up the day automation with approval from his committee out of his contract. And Eric, Sarah, if you have any questions for that.
Existing equipment out there, are there any cold spots within the 911 center?
Are there cold spots? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we struggle with maintaining and managing the heating and the cooling in that building extensively.
Is this going to eliminate that?
And that's what we're.
Are we going to hold these people accountable?
Absolutely. I think this system, changing over to the day automated systems, making some changes in the location of some of the thermostats that are in the building, and then the upgrades to the leak units and the control areas. Then they're adding some additional VAV boxes, I believe, that are going to control the airflow within the system. So, I mean, Eric can give you more details to how that system operates better than I could, but this is to correct the struggles that we have out there ongoing for quite a while. Yeah. Jack spent a year out there between freezing and cooling. Sometimes I'd look over, he'd have his hoodie up over his head. We have to get a blanket for Darlene.
I'll move it.
Second.
Hi.
Hi.
Mr. Chairman.
Questions?
Yeah, Tim, I've got a couple of questions that arose from the response to my loss on the 13th. I know there were some local firefighters that never got toned out or called out on that, because they never got the text until later in the day. Apparently that's an issue down in my area.
So we are having some struggles right now with our text messaging, working through that. What the problem is, there's two problems that we're working through right now. One is that the number of text messages that we send out, we get to a certain level and our internet service provider kind of sees us as a spammer, and they shut down or throttle back the number of texts that we send out, which sends out, you know, sporadics. The problem that we run into recently is these storms that we've been having. When we have these large wind storms where we have a large number of tree down calls, wire calls, during the flooding, when we've got a large number of calls going out, that has a tendency to stack up our calls in the I am responding system, which delays the details. Hold on, battery's down.
Can you repeat that? All right, can you hear me now? Very good. So yeah, so we're working on that piece. I talked to our CAD technician this morning. We've identified some additional internet service providers that can do our email exchanges, that can hold a larger volume for the type of dispensing of emails that we do through that system. So we are working diligently right now to correct those issues with the IRM responding.
There's a second issue. A lot of people are going to cell phones and doing away with landlines. In our area down there, when you call 911 on a cell phone, it goes to a Pennsylvania tower.
Yep.
It goes to Wellsboro, and then it goes to you guys. And that adds valuable time for calling. And we need another tower down in the southern part of Steuben County along the state line there somewhere. And I don't know what the answer is, but something that needs to be addressed.
Okay. That's conversations I can have with Verizon or AT&T. I know AT&T is expanding quite extensively across the county as part of the FirstNet project.
So there could be a potential that maybe we look at. But again, all of the cell phone technology is based upon the facing of the tower and where they anticipate that your location is compared to the tower site. So sometimes when you're near the border like that, you will roll into the Pennsylvania Dispatch Center. We're also working very closely with Tioga County to try to get some interagency communications set up between us and Allegheny and Tioga County, Pennsylvania. We're working on that now to be able to try to have a dedicated frequency. So if they get an incoming call into Tioga, it's not a phone call to us. It's going to be a quick radio message over, dispatch this agency to this call. This is what we've got. So,
okay, there's a large area in my district along the state line that until they put the tower in Knoxville and activated, it was dead zone.
Yeah.
So something we need to look into.
Yeah, we've certainly still got some dead zones in our rural areas of the county. You know, and again, AT&T is right now seems to be the one that seems to be pushing the hardest to try and fill some of those voids. So I can have a conversation with them about that area down there.
Do they and Verizon share towers?
Not typically, no.
Yeah, Tim, my question is, what's the status of the radio tower at the Pinnacle?
So we're in communication right now with the New York State Department of Parks and also with DEC. Parks is working on transferring that property over to us, or at least a small piece of property, so that we could move forward with the development of the site there. But until we can have that arrangement and agreement in place, you know, we can't really move forward with anything until we have those arrangements in place. So
that's going to have to be quite a high tower from where you're going
to
be.
Probably about 180 to 190 is what we're looking at, according to our propagation studies.
Yeah. To get over the ridge so you can get into the village and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just wanted to say with Fred's situation where he went to his call, went to Pennsylvania. When I was out one morning running, there was a tree down in the road and I was about a mile and a quarter or so from my house. And that call went to Schuyler County, not to ours. Hmm. So I was actually quite surprised when the guy said, well, wait a minute, I've got to transfer you. So how often does that happen? And really, is there anything we can do about that?
Yeah, there's, you know, unfortunately, there's not an awful lot that we can do about it because of the way that the cell phone technology works. You know, the dispatch centers all work very, very closely together, and they're very used to transferring these calls between dispatch centers. And in New York, we have the ability to be able to talk inter-county between the different counties over our interoperable county radio system. But with PA, we have no communications with that. So it's got to be a telephone call or transfer that way. So that's why we're working with Pennsylvania to try to get some sort of radio communications in place.
Excellent.
Maybe by the March meeting, committee meeting, you could take a look at this and give us a report back.
I can certainly take a look at it and see.
See, Kelly, that's why I don't run, because I don't want to have those problems.
You don't want to call 911. You'd be calling 911 for a different reason if you were out.
Anything else? Thank you.
Kelly.
Hey, well, good morning. We just have one item on the agenda. It's renewal of the contract with Diversion Management for our traffic diversion program. The terms are the same. It's the same cost per ticket with no upfront cost for the county. It's a program that's been very successful. I think we're going to report on it before you guys next month how we did last year. But the economic returns to the county have been positive. The efficiency for our office has been fantastic, as well as for our local courts. And we get great feedback from drivers as well. So it's been a win-win for Steuben County and traffic safety. Yeah, it's a set number per ticket. And Noel can give you specifics. He's been working with a contract and those folks more closely than I have. So
we pay $20 per ticket. That's a, whether or $20 or 10%. The minimum is 20 or 10% of the fee that we take in. So.
Can we explain what diversion management is to the new legislators?
Diversion Management is a company out of the Buffalo area, and it works with our traffic diversion program. Our traffic diversion program is a program whereby someone charged with a vehicle traffic violation, most frequently speeding, can make application to be put into the program. If they are accepted into the program, it has to do with your speed and your prior convictions and the circumstances of the situation. If you're accepted into the program, you complete a 6-hour insurance reduction course, and your ticket is withdrawn. And there is a fee for that up front that's paid to the county. It's a fee that basically offsets what it costs us to process and prosecute a ticket. We share that back with local courts and law enforcement and in our office for cost of prosecution. It's all handled by Diversion Management. That's the company that we utilize for this service. And they provide everything sort of from soup to nuts for us in this program. The applications come in and are approved through our office. And then we turn it over to them for monitoring of the completion of the education course, for communication to the courts of the completion as well as for the sort of the rest of the process, any customer service questions as well. So it's been, they take that whole collection stuff out of our office. They provide a computer program that provides accessibility to the court so they can track the action tickets through the system. And it's been a very, very successful and positive program.
Second. Aye.
Thank you.
I have a question. Can you give us an update on the office manager?
Yes. Nathan, in the back of the room. We had a little bit of an issue with the definition and job description of the office manager. The one we picked out was heavy on finance and didn't fit either our needs or the person we had picked out. So we have a person, a candidate who fits our needs, as I think we talked about before, a retired state police sergeant. And she's ready to start sort of whenever. And she's already been training and doing the things she needs to do sort of off the books, but as a volunteer to learn the office and how it works. We are working with Nate to get a job description through Albany of an office manager that fits our office. And our expectation is that that's something we'll be talking about next meeting as well. Okay.
I'm concerned that this is just part-time. How part-time job fits us.
Well, that's what, sure. And that was a concern we had to begin with, but when we looked at the needs of the office and Mike Rathbun did the entire analysis, his thought was that really, this wasn't really a full-time job at this stage, and we don't want to have excess capacity in the office. So we're going to start with a part-time person, see if that works. And it'll be a daily presence without question, but it just doesn't need to be a full-day presence to deal with these issues. Our staff isn't large enough. I hope we never get large enough to need a full-time person. But if it is more than that, then that's something we'll come back to and talk to you guys about. But our goal wasn't to create excess capacity in the office or additional cost to the taxpayer. What we want to do is become a more efficient office. And I think a part-time person will make that work for us right now. Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. One item for you this morning. Request to renew the contract with the Finger Lakes SPCA for animal cruelty support. Obviously, the past year and a half with the two court cases that, because of COVID and others, rolled over, obviously, you drained the reserve that you had. Now, thankfully, with the budget that you just passed, there will be additional funds into the capital project that would be available, but that those two court cases have resolved. So we're hoping for a much more normal year. And thankfully, we had many of those prior to the last year and a half. So looking to authorize the $10,000 retainer.
Motion.
Second. Discussion.
Aye.
One item relative to employment history of particular individuals.
Motion for executive session.
Second. Aye.
So moved. Second.
Aye.
Sorry.
New legislators, how are you feeling about your first day?
That's initiation.
Exactly.
We haven't run away from
you. Oh, Lord.
Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, thank you.